This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley. Lucky to be joined today by McLean Baxley from Pokes, Go Pokes 24/7, joining us in between some holiday celebrations. We hope everybody had a great holiday out there, celebrating with their family and spending some time with them. I'm here to talk about the Texax Bowl. It'll take place on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central between Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. A familiar matchup. These two met back in 2019, so very familiar for fans. And McLean, thanks so much for joining us. How's your holidays been so far?
It's been good. It's been busy, but good, and kind of ready to get back and cover another final football game in 2023.
No doubt. Closing out the season for both programs. This Oklahoma State team, it's been a bit of a fascinating ride. You know, you look at the beginning of the season, that loss to South Alabama, and then things kind of shift in the emergence of Ollie Gordon is a big reason for that. I believe their only two games they lost after that were games that Ollie Gordon was held below 100 yards rushing. What has he meant to the offense, and how did that kind of shift come about midway through the season?
I think so. They lost to South Alabama. They went to Iowa State, lost the conference opener, and then had a bye week. And during that bye week, Ollie Gordon got with Mike Gundy, with Casey Dunn, and a lot of the offensive staff, and really they kind of devised, let's change things, what we're doing on running. Let's change, the blocking scheme. Let's get him more involved. And then when we get back from the bye week, they just go in. They win five straight, several of those games, Kansas State, Oklahoma in that stretch. And really just, him being able to carry the ball, get production, and kind of took pressure, quarterback, kind of took pressure off of other guys on offense and really opened up the offense for him and for Ollie Gordon to kind of just do what he's been doing all season. And really just that shift during that bye week, getting with the offensive line, changing their blocking schemes, changing their run schemes to fit what he does best. And that works, for the remainder of the season.
You look at, obviously he announced, I believe last week or earlier this week, that he was coming back for another year. How does that kind of impact the outlook looking forward for Oklahoma State? And what is kind of the outlook as they look into next year?
I think it's very high. I mean, obviously, there's a game, left to be played this season. But, him returning, it's funny because, he's not eligible for the draft. He's not eligible to go pro. But, there's definitely, I'm sure, offers from other schools, NIL offers to get him to come to transfer and play for other schools and different programs. But, him being able to stay at Oklahoma State is going to provide a continuity. Previously in the transfer portal season, five of the offensive line starters announced they're coming back. They're all veteran. Retro seniors, veteran guys that have played a lot of football together, their call coming back. And you add Ollie Gordon, they haven't lost many receivers to the transfer portal that had a lot of impact this season. And then a quarterback, Alan Bowman, could be coming back for a seventh year. He applied for a medical hardship waiver to get that seventh year. And if not, they've got two or three guys in the roster that they feel confident in to be able to carry this offense. But, getting Ollie Gordon back, getting that offensive line back is going to be crucial for Oklahoma State as they go towards this new Big 12, in which they should be favored towards the top of the conference. With OU and Texas leaving, Oklahoma State should be towards the top of the preseason polls come July.
You mentioned Alan Bowman. Just curious, how would you characterize his season? Because he's had some problems with turnovers, but a veteran guy, you know, and obviously a guy they were able to get to a Big 12 championship game with. How would you kind of characterize his season and the way he's played?
I think he's been a great, you know, I wouldn't want to call him a game manager. I think that term kind of has a negative connotation, but I mean, that's what he's really been able to do. I mean, obviously, Ollie Gordon has been the offense. You know, I feel like most quarterbacks could be able to turn around, hand the ball off to their, you know, All-American running back, but you know, he's been able to make throws when he needs to. He's, you know, kept everybody level-headed and, you know, comeback wins and tight games and tight wins. And really just been, I think, even more importantly, he's been a vocal point on the vocal coach and vocal leader on the sidelines. Like you said, he's been around the game for a long time. He's, you know, been around some good players, good coaches. He's out of Michigan, went to two college football playoffs, you know, the past 2 years. And so he's been around a lot of talented players and a lot of talented coaches. So having him on the sideline, as well as, you know, being good enough in the game to keep these guys in it, and like you said, you know, keep them, you know, playing. You know, they were officially, you know, top two in the Big 12 by the season's end, playing Texas in the Big 12 championship game. So he was good enough to get into that point while not, you know, he was not relied on to throw for 400 yards a game. That's not what they were asking him to do. So he was good in his role.
Makes sense. And with Mike Gundy, I think a lot of people kind of looked at it and said, yeah, that's a very true point, when he was talking during the bowl prep about Texas A&M and said Oklahoma State is not really sure what to prepare for, just given how much change there's been in College Station. Obviously, James Coley and Jim Chaney will be calling the offense and you know, a group of coaches kind of combining together on the defensive side. How has Oklahoma State kind of navigated that, and what has kind of been their mantra in trying to prepare for a game that probably has some wild card elements for them?
I think, you know, it's kind of a cliche, and I think a lot of programs are treating these bowl practices like an early spring practice, kind of like, you know, preparation for a spring game, kind of looking inward, focusing on, you know, offensive, defensive schemes. They want to better, you know, prepare for next season and things that kind of look backwards, self-scout a little bit to improve themselves. Well, also, obviously, they do want to win this game. They want to go down to Houston and you know, in the season on a high note with a win over an SEC program to launch them into next season with a lot of the guys coming back next season. So it's been difficult, I'm sure. You know, I think as of, you know, I think last Thursday was the last time we talked with Gundy, and he was like, we don't really know what to expect. You know, it seems like every day A&M loses one or two key guys in the portal. The coaching staff is you know, hit or miss. There's new guys, there's old guys. I mean, it's definitely a weird thing. So I think what they're doing to prepare is really making sure that they're in the best shape they can be, you know, making sure they know what they're doing on offense, knowing, you know, getting a base level defense to kind of prepare for anything that A&M might throw at them and just kind of go from there.
Obviously there's a lot of focus on Ollie Gordon and Alan Bowman, but who are some other X factors and guys Texas A&M fans should know about?
Rashad Owens, if we're staying on offense, Rashad Owens, he's a receiver that kind of, you know, beginning of the season, he was further on the depth chart than injuries kind of played the receiver core, especially when he got playing time. It was fantastic. I mean, he was one of the top three receivers for this team and a guy that's been around. He's played receiver. He's played tight end. He's been asked to do a lot of things. And this season, he really kind of stepped into that role as a leader. He was the one that was giving halftime speeches when they were down at halftime at Houston and against BYU in the season finale. And he's really become a team captain and a team leader this season. And then on defense, I mean, take your pick of linebacker core. I mean, you got Nick Martin, all Big 12 first team, a guy that last year or coming into this year, he had less than 200 snaps on defense going into the season. And then he, you know, all Big 12, you know, leads the conference in tackles, just a beast. And then Colin Oliver, who kind of plays that rover role of linebacker. He's listed as a linebacker, but in this 3-3-5, he definitely goes closer to the line and plays a little four down. And rushes the quarterback and rushes into the backfield when needed. I mean, those two guys, two of the best linebackers in the conference, two of the best linebackers maybe in the country. I mean, they're guys that really stepped up and are asked to do a lot, and they do it well.
And then just finally, I'll get you out on this. Looking ahead to this game, what are some of the key factors you feel like Oklahoma State kind of needs to do if they're going to walk out of this game with a win?
I think I've said it almost every week since that Kansas State game, but Ollie Gordon, I mean, he is their team on offense and defense. You look at those two losses out of the bye week at UCF and then against Texas. Both those games, Ollie Gordon was held under 50 yards, just not really doing much against either of those teams. They were able to shut him down and really take away a huge factor on offense for Oklahoma State, and that proved consequential in the outcome and really taking away that thing. So Ollie Gordon can get going, and he's done it in different ways. He's a guy that gets better as the game goes on. We saw that, most recently against BYU, and also, maybe best against West Virginia when he had three touchdowns in the fourth quarter up there in Morgantown. So he's capable. The team lives and dies by him. And then on defense, the secondary has been is definitely the weakest part of this team. They're very young, a lot of freshmen and redshirt freshmen that were asked to step up, via injury and due to lack of depth. And they've gotten better as the season's gone on, but that's where Texas hit them pretty hard a few weeks ago, and UCF did a number on them. And if Texas A&M can get in the secondary and really make those long passes, it could be a long day for Oklahoma State's defense.
No doubt. Those are two for Texas A&M fans to keep an eye on. McLean, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great holiday. Spending some time with family and friends, and look forward to a good one tomorrow night. Thanks again for joining us.
Sounds good.
Returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.